Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for coming back for another episode of the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome to Sunday. Welcome to another edition. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I hope that these podcasts are encouraging you and building you up. I know that I get a lot of feedback from you. A lot of you like them. You are encouraged by them, so share them with your friends. Encourage them to sign up for the Winder's Windshield so that they can get them directly into their inbox every morning. And all they got to do is click listen now, and this podcast becomes available. All right, we are going to dive right in. As you know, many of you know anyway, I've been a part of the sciences for many years, going on 14 years in human genetics and cancer diagnostics. And so I'm very fascinated with science and discovery and the scientific method and the process, but I'm also very aware of its limitations. It's a worldview like any other. In fact, you could even say it's like a religion in many ways. Now, I've also studied world religions and faith and scripture and sacred texts for more than 25 years. So this is an interesting conversation today because it is a hybrid of the two passions of my life. Today's talk is called Quantum and Other Kinds of Entanglement. Quantum and Other Kinds of Entanglement. So let's just get started. If you are not familiar with quantum physics, quantum mechanics, then what you need to know just for this talk is that everything that governs our scientific world on a macro scale, when you look through a telescope, is the Newtonian laws of physics, right? It's time, it's chance, it's random, it's gravity, it's all those things. It's the weight of an element. It is all of everything, all those things that we come to know and have grown up learning in science. They don't go away. They're still important. There's a whole set of rules that go with them. But if you look through the microscope and you start getting into smaller and smaller things, down into subatomic particles, these are little tiny particles that are way smaller than the atom. Okay? That is where all of this gravity, time, chance, randomness, all falls apart. And science has had to really scrap their Newtonian physics in order to gain new understandings of our quantum universe. I mean, and let's not skim over this. Science, this, you know, science, the benchmark of stability, the thing that launches space shuttles into space, the thing that predicts our weather, that we use mathematics inherently, depend on it for its reliability, repeatability, its testability, its provability. It's how we get proof, right? It's how we know what is true. Science itself, the benchmark of stability, the thing that creates an anchor point for so many people's worldview, is not a fixed framework. Science is not a fixed framework. And that's not a surprise if you're a scientist. Because, I mean, remember, science once told us that the sun traveled around the earth. It told us that bloodletting and leeches was a cure in medicine. Science is always being updated with new discoveries. In other words, we only know partial amounts of truth. But science is on this ever quest to find more truth. And as it does gain greater proximity or greater, wider perspectives of the truth, it changes what we know about science. So everything we thought was true today will become increasingly less true as we gain more knowledge, And that's the scientific process, and all true science keeps reinventing itself. I mean, the scientific theory causes ideas to be tested and to evolve over time. Science presses the frontier of discovery, and thus it is both in a state of wonder and confusion as a result of this process. And science is an endless pursuit of a wider grasp of truth. I don't think it ever says we're going to know it all, and science is always saying we just don't know right now. And that's always interesting, because when you get to quantum physics, science says a lot of I don't knows. It really is confused. It's realizing that its language doesn't work. You know, quantum mechanics has forced science to go beyond empiricism. And this is where it gets funny, because the theory part that has to be tested in the scientific method is not empirically measurable all the time. And so they do create measurements with the Higgs boson particle separator and all these kinds of tools and mathematic equations and paradigms to get at these truths. But it's not the same. It has to go beyond empiricism to apprehend the reality that works on an entirely other level than our physical science. The problem is that all these people who have the scientific method drilled into their head and they studied for years under all these great professors, they are thinking of science in the physical sciences approach. And they're bringing it into quantum physics. And while that brings some value, they're learning that there's a lot that it just can't go there. It doesn't even work. Gravity doesn't work that way. And one of the discoveries is quantum entanglement. And that's where a subatomic particle is linked or entangled to another particle. And this particle could potentially be separated by light years, hundreds and millions of light years away. But merely observing the particle alters the particle. More than that, not only does it alter the particle because you're observing it, you're not touching it, you're not probing it, you're not doing anything, you're simply observing it, changes the particle. And then it instantaneously alters the linked particle, the entangled particle. So you observe it, it spins one direction, it immediately spins the entangled particle the opposite direction. There is no lag in time. There's no lag in space. And observation alone is enough to influence it. So what do we make of that? And so science just scratches its head and it has no clue as to how this works, because, like I said, science does not possess the categories or labels for such phenomena. It'll come up with them, don't worry. It'll come up with them, and it'll come up with a way to kind of make sense of it. But they still just won't go there, and you know what I'm talking about. There is no scientific language to describe that thing that entangles or links the two particles. Right, they can't detect any kind of physical force field. They can't understand why one particle causes another to immediately react in the exact same time and space continuum. Yet, they're connected. They're somehow connected, and there's no physical connection. And so science really struggles with that. How do we make sense of this? But you see, science is finally coming around to acknowledge what spiritual people have always grasped. See, the person who prayed in the past for a sick loved one was seen by science as just wishful thinking, or it's ineffective. There's really no basis other than just goodwill. And now we know that conscious awareness can cause an entangled particle to react by our observation of it. So when somebody who, say, is in pain or is suffering or is hurting, it's bringing about an energy, a disruption in good energy and a change in bad energy. And now we can link ourselves to that energy and we become aware of it. And our awareness can cause an entangled particle in there to react by our observation of it. So you can now scientifically explain how prayer is feasible. Now, while science has no name for that force that entangles the two particles, religion and systems of faith have always known this as the love of God, the energy of God, the spirit of God, right? Enlightenment, empowerment, awareness, consciousness. It has always had a name for it. Spirituality has a space for reality that goes beyond empiricism. And quantum mechanics is trying to bring empiricism into that space, and it's lacking it because it's using empiricism. And yet it knows from its observation that this is beyond empirical observation, a measurement. So while science is kind of catching up to religion there, we still aren't at a place where science and religion can live happily ever after. I mean, unfortunately, most faith systems or religions are full of religious entanglement, and they're not willing to widen their field of view in the way that science has. I mean, too often it prefers the way it was to something new, whereas science is always looking at the new frontier. Most religion is trying to look in the rearview mirror and not towards the future. So when a person has a transcendent experience, maybe they went to a religious service, maybe they went to a church service, maybe they had this experience in the hospital or with a loved one or something strange happened. They go to a religious institution, a church, a synagogue, a place, and they fall prey to the religious systems that want to validate or invalidate, define or control or otherwise manipulate that experience. They're going to tell you that one experience is valid and another is not, and that it's based on this thing, or it's based on this reading of the scripture, or this reading of the text, or this thing, or this doesn't happen anymore. And they're all over the map. Now, I like theology as much as the next geek, but theology is not God. It is a contrived best estimate of what we think God is like. Because we, just like science, lack categories for these authentic experiences. So in our human experience, we do have these touch points with transcendent beauty. And we have these moments where we have this awareness. But if we aren't careful, you know, religion will sweep in and explain everything with its categories and its labels. And we will move from experience into a tribal groupthink. Now, we need religion to be willing to widen itself so that it can relearn what it knows in new ways, just like science. I mean, we have to have a God that is bigger than our known universe. And sadly, most of us, like Richard Rohr would say, have grown up with a God who is depicted way too small. Now, science is not immune to its own entanglement. Science has typically been reluctant to use any categories from religion. But now, in the face of quantum entanglement, we need science to acknowledge that it has entered the spiritual realm and to be honest that it has moved into a faith-based system rather than empiricism. Have you ever listened to some of these cosmologists? Some of these people talk about quantum physics. They sound like prophets and like preachers and theologians, right? When they are in this theoretical world of string theory, they are not using empirically based scientific facts. They're using theories and ideas and conjecture. And this is the world of theology, right? Regardless of how we arrive at this truth, we still find ourselves facing the awareness that we and our world are intimately connected. We're entangled. You and I, you know, we're not different. On a level, we're just entangled, but we can't fully appreciate how. You see, It's what we do with this awareness that changes everything. While I am not you, and you are not me, and you are not your brother or your sister or your wife or your kids, we are also not completely other than each other either. I'm not a dog or a cat, but I'm not completely other than a dog or a cat. There's something that entangles us all together as part of creation. And I'll go there because I have language for that. This isn't a random universe. This is a created world with order. And I believe that we are all deeply entangled. And the force, while science lacks a word for that force that holds two particles entangled together, I come to know that that force is called love. And it turns out that quantum entanglement might just be the scientific way of saying the world's greatest commandment to all of us, which is love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.